from CBS 4 in Denver, our friend Romy Bean. Make sure you follow her on Twitter, Romy_Bean. Romy, thanks for joining us. And let's just start with a second back-to-back game by Teddy Bridgewater. We had talked about the first game against the Giants and how don't expect him to do that again. He did it again. When you look at these two games put together, it's one of the best two starts for Broncos history. Did it feel like it's completely come out of the blue for you, or did you feel this was building during the offseason?
Sean, I love how you said that, right? Like, last week, everybody was saying, man, Teddy was elite in week one. We know who Teddy is. This is not Teddy. This is kind of an anomaly.
Yeah.
Okay, now he's done it 2 weeks in a row.
And maybe we don't know Teddy.
Right? Maybe we don't know Teddy. And these are, you know, it's just interesting. I keep thinking back to how good of a player Teddy was before he got injured. And now Teddy, having gone through everything he's gone through, every time he's on the field, to me, guys, I just see a guy who is so football savvy, a guy who has had to use his football smarts because the body hasn't been there all the time for him, right? The arm hasn't been there all the time for him. And you're seeing that, a guy who makes a play, a guy who calls plays almost Peyton Manning-esque in the sense of, again, I'm not referring to Peyton Manning, but where he'll call, Cortland Sutton kind of referred to it in postgame, where Teddy will call a play that they didn't really practice during the week, but yeah, it's a play that's going to work.
And he actually said that.
You know, that is Peyton Manning-esque.
When was the last time, other than Manning, I can't remember it, and I'm not saying they haven't had quarterbacks like a Trevor Siemian who was smart enough and knew what he was doing and followed the game plan and actually got off to two pretty good starts himself, both in 16 and 17. But when was the last time you heard teammates on both offense and defense so effusive in their praise of not a quarterback's stats, but his leadership qualities?
Oh, I mean, again, I can't think back until Peyton Manning. Obviously, that Von Miller video got out that he kind of said, oh, that was supposed to be between me and Teddy. But I'll tell you what, guys, actually, I was at a Von Miller fundraiser tonight, bumped into Cortland Sutton, and my brother was with me, and I introduced him to Cortland, and my brother said to Cortland, hey, Cort, you know, Von seems like Teddy seems like a great guy. And Cortland said, oh, man, he's on another level in every sense. Right off the bat. And then he was just gushing about him. And these are things that every time somebody comes to the podium, we ask them about Teddy. It's almost like they're getting tired of us asking about Teddy, because it's like he is on the field and in the locker room just an absolute leader in every sense. But on the field has been more impressive, right? I feel like we have heard how great of a guy Teddy is. We're seeing it. It's so clear. It's so easy. Clear to see why it's so easy to root for him. But on the field, I mean, the way the guy is extending plays, the way the guy is really taking these young receivers to another level has been something I think we have to admit is entirely unexpected. And his play has been off the chart. I mean, if you just go statistically, he's got better numbers in a lot of categories than Patrick Mahomes right now, you guys. I mean, this is crazy.
And when you talk about guys talking about Bridgewater, I mean, these are professionals, and I've noticed the same thing. It's different. They're talking about him in a fashion you don't normally hear professionals, and that it is sort of unique. Well, we talked about Cortland Sutton. You mentioned him, and obviously he had a terrific game yesterday and looked like he was mostly back. I think there were moments when you watched that game and look at it again, you can see that maybe physically he's not 100% there, but if he's not, who cares? This has got to be good enough to certainly change the Broncos offense, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And the other thing is, I got to give some credit to Teddy Bridgewater here for going back to Cortland. There was a couple times, honestly, in the first half.
Great point.
Where I said, ooh, Cortland, I don't know, right? Couple of those long balls.
He didn't seem right.
He didn't seem right. And then he went off the field slowly.
Yep.
Just didn't feel right. And Teddy went back to him. And that is a credit to him. He did that last week in week one with Albert O, and that paid off. And then he did it with Cortland in this week, and it paid off. Cortland had a career high 159. I mean, at the 33-yarder, that 55-yarder that Vic Fangio after the game said, that was the play that changed the game, that changed the tide. He felt like their DBs were outplaying the Broncos wide receivers, and that changed the game.
Right.
And you got to give credit to Teddy for having faith and going back to Cortland when a lot of guys would have said, all right, I'm going somewhere else.
Well, that was our turning point of the game yesterday in the fan football postgame. So I'm thrilled that Vic Fangio endorsed my choice as a turning point of the game, as he seemed to after the game yesterday. I want to ask you about the defense, though, particularly in the defensive secondary. A little bit of old and a little bit of new. Interceptions by Jackson and Surtain, and game balls for both.
I mean, I got to start with Pat Surtain a second. I got to be honest, I was a little nervous. I thought Trevor Lawrence is going to key in on this guy. They're going to put the best receiver on him. And
first drive, they sort of did.
Right. And then this was the Surtain we've seen all of camp. I mean, this guy, the rest of the game, you almost didn't even notice him in the best sense, in the sense of where you don't necessarily notice Justin Simmons per se, like where they are just doing their job. They're on point and the guy's getting nothing of them. And then he gets that interception. And after the game, Vic Fangio said, hey, that was a hell of a pick. Hey, but also said a lot of guys couldn't have done that with their athleticism. But the way Pat Surtain really just came into that role, he played 35-40 more snaps than he did the game before. And it was like nothing. This was everything we thought we were going to see in camp, but really to see it in action I was truly impressed. I mean, he didn't really get beat. At the beginning of the game, it looked like they were giving him a little help, and they just kind of left him to do his thing. And then he just kind of left him. He just left him to do his thing, and it was incredibly impressive. I was so impressed with what we saw from Pat Surtain. I guess this is what we'd expected all of camp, but I didn't know if we were going to see that in a regular season game. That gives a lot of confidence, as they'll be without Ronald Darby for however long, to know that, wow, Surtain really can hold his load. This guy's the real deal.
Talking with Romy Bean, CBS for Denver, and you talk about how the guy sort of, Justin Simmons is so good that you don't notice him at times. Javonte Williams was in for fewer than half the offensive snaps yesterday, and he only carried the ball 13 times for 64 yards. Those were the loudest 64 yards I can remember in a long time.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I mean, there's been some questions. Oh, what's this Broncos run game isn't really doing much. I think they're doing exactly their job right now because the pass game is kind of taking off. I think teams are paying respect to the run game. But I'm almost to the point where we're questioning, do we start giving Javonte more carries? Because when Javonte runs, it's different, man. That guy just runs like he just wants to hurt somebody. He runs downfield with a force, and you just notice him every time he goes. He pushes for extra every yard. I think at some point they got to start considering, are we going to go with a hot hand and stop splitting reps? And I don't know if that starts in week 3, but I think sooner than later, we got to start going with the hot hand, because I feel like, let's see what we got in Javonte, because every time he gets out there, you know, it's pretty special, and you want to see more. I want to see him for a full game. I want to see him explode and get out there and break a bunch of tackles and get that touchdown. But he, you know, needs a little more reps to make that happen.
Well, he's gained 3/4 of his rushing yards this season. Actually, about 0.2 percentage point more than 75% after contact. 82 out of 109 yards after contact, and that 16-yard run yesterday, I haven't seen a back make a run like that around here in quite some time. A run like that, where he's breaking tackles, and not necessarily tackles from little cornerbacks. I mean, he's taking bigger safeties along for a ride, and it takes a linebacker. I think it was Miles Jack who finally got him to the ground. But that was a 5-6 yard run that he made into a 16-yard run. I agree, and I've had that sense. And there's no real reason for them to change the division of playing time around at this point, I suppose. But he's capable of doing more. He's capable of carrying the ball more. He's capable of more responsibility. And Sean had it exactly right. Those were loud yards. You know, we talk about quiet points in basketball or even quiet yards on a football field where you look up and say, well, where do those 90 or 100 yards come from? This guy, the defense knows what happens when they hit him, and it usually isn't anything good for the defense.
I mean, it seems like this guy, who can tackle this guy? You need a couple of defenders. I mean, he is so tough to tackle. This guy is breaking one or two tackles every single time, like you said. Yeah. And it, the other thing, too, Sandy, which has been kind of fascinating, Vic Fangio pointed out yesterday how calm Javonte is. And we've only talked to him a couple times, right, because we don't have locker room. But he is just, like, stoic. And you think, oh, okay, I don't know, right? We don't know him that well. Vic Fangio said yesterday, he's as calm as Teddy Bridgewater. What? And then we asked Teddy about it. Teddy said, yeah, no, he's as calm as me, and it's kind of weird to see a rookie that calm. That obviously has nothing to do with this play, but that is something that can't be overlooked. This guy's demeanor, he just, nothing is too big for him. The moment is not too big for him. This guy is ready. And when he goes out there, he's just ready to play ball. And loud yards, yeah, I think that's the best way to say it. I mean, even in week one, I thought, gosh, how many yards did Javonte get? Oh, okay, 45, and then what, he got 60-something this week? I mean, it's just each week for a rookie who just doesn't look like a rookie at all. He's somebody that defenses have to respect, and I think, honestly, even if he's not blowing up, even if we want to see more of him per se, defenses are respecting this guy. And that's part of the reason why the passing game is blowing up, because just 1-2 weeks on film and defenses can see, oh, gosh, this guy's trouble, right? So I think the more Javonte, the better. I'm going to be honest.
She is Romy Bean. Make sure you follow her on Twitter, @Romy_Bean, and catch, of course, on CBS4 in Denver. Thanks so much for the time, Romy. Appreciate it.
Hey, guys, thanks so much for having me.
All right, thanks. Romy Bean joins us courtesy of the Johnson Auto Plaza Hotline.